It's time for Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Doug is a certified financial planner, providing you with a personal financial hotline to answer your questions about tax planning, investments, retirement planning, estate planning, and education planning. Doug and Linda are the owners of Lewis Financial Management, a registered investment advisory firm in Raleigh, providing financial and investment services since 1983. Doug and Linda will be answering your questions on WPTF phone lines anytime during the next hour. Call 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-9783 to become part of tonight's show.
Hello there, North Carolina. This is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner, once again welcoming you to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters with Doug and Linda has been providing you with a personal financial hotline for all of your questions about investments, estate planning, tax planning, money management, and retirement planning for over 20 years. And again, with me as usual tonight is my wife, Linda, who works with me in our firm, Lewis Financial Management.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Doug and I are the owners of Lewis Financial Management, a registered investment advisory firm in Raleigh, providing investment and financial advice since 1983.
For over 20 years,
we've been answering your questions on the WPTF phone lines. They are your questions and our answers.
So sit back and enjoy, or if you're free, call us tonight on the open lines. We'll take your calls anytime during the next hour. You're free to call in and ask any financial question about your own personal financial planning. Call us at 860-9783, that's 860-WPTF. Or you can call us toll-free long distance at 1-800-662-7979.
Well, financial planning is everyone's business, and still for most folks, money matters are just a big puzzle. Folks have questions about planning for retirement, planning for a child's college education. They don't know the difference between financial planning and money management. They want to know a lot these days. They want to know what's a mutual fund, what's a limited partnership, what's a REIT, what's a will, what's a living will. And yes, it really can confuse you, but you're not alone. Because in a world crowded with new investments, changing tax laws, rapidly evolving insurance products, and volatile economic cycles, more and more people are looking for clear direction in their financial lives. And yet, unfortunately, the busier and the more successful they are, the less time they have to sort out their financial affairs. And people are asking, is there any solution?
Well, yes, Doug, there certainly is a solution. Out of this increasingly complicated financial environment has come a new breed of professionals that are trying to solve people's money puzzles. And that's the Certified Financial Planner.
It's the Certified Financial Planner who offers something that people don't get from the traditional stockbroker, money manager, accountant, insurance agent, or bank trust officer. And that's a way to consolidate all aspects of people's financial affairs into one financial plan. It's the Certified Financial Planner who knows how to pull together all six areas of a client's financial life.
Doug, I think for many people, the first area of financial planning is cash flow planning, with questions about their emergency fund, their mortgage, their credit cards, and reducing their debt.
Well, yes, Linda, and yet for many people, the second area of financial planning is retirement planning. Those who are working want to know how to compute what they'll need to live on during retirement and how much they should be saving for retirement. They want to know what investments they should choose from the choices in their company's 401k plan. Others are retiring and have received a lump sum payout option from their company's retirement plan, and they want to know, should they take it, and if so, how should they invest it?
Well, Doug, the third area of financial planning that must be dealt with is estate planning. For most people, over their working years, their estate has grown. How can they reduce their estate taxes? And they wonder, are their simple wills sufficient, or maybe they should be considering the complicated world of trusts?
If that's the third area, Linda, the fourth area of financial planning cannot be overlooked. This is tax planning. People are interested in both tax reduction strategies and tax reduction investments, home mortgage interest, charitable giving, tax shelters, tax-free bonds, questions about capital gains taxes, estate taxes, gift taxes, and how to sell real estate tax-free using trusts. What a confusion.
Well, Doug, we can't forget the fifth area of financial planning, which is insurance planning. How much life insurance does a family really need? Do they have too little insurance or maybe too much insurance? Should they have whole life, term, or universal? Should they have long-term nursing care coverage?
You're right, Lynn. And of course, the sixth and most important area of financial planning is investment planning. Here, the questions never stop. What's the best way to diversify my investments? Is now a safe time to invest in stocks? What about bonds? What kind of stock mutual funds? Bond mutual funds, equipment leasing partnerships, REITs, CDs, gold, annuities.
So, Doug, it seems that at last it's time for people to understand that a certified financial planner is really the only one who can tie together all six parts of their financial puzzle. And to you out there listening, if you've got a question on your mind about cash flow planning, retirement planning, estate planning, tax planning, insurance, or investments, call us now on the open lines and we'll answer your financial planning questions. Those numbers to call are 860-9783. That's 860-WPTF. Out of towners, call us toll free at 1-800-662-7979. And if you just want to sit back and listen to the callers through the years, welcome to the show.
Investment advice through Lewis Financial Management. Investments through HBEC Inc., HBEC Inc., and Lewis Financial Management are not related entities.
Well, Doug, all these April showers are going to bring some May flowers. What do you think about that?
I think they already are. I think things are beautiful. Oh, what a time to be in North Carolina.
Yes, yes. Blooming. The azaleas are in
peaking.
Peaking and starting to really show a lot of beautiful color all over the city.
The pansies are fading a little bit sometimes, but the lilies, the Asiatic lilies, they're, oh boy.
Well, I think a little bit of chill in the air is keeping the pansies alive. And of course, now the lilies are starting to, we had tulips a couple of weeks ago, and now the lilies, right? Tiger lily.
Maybe that's why the stock market is up so high this year already. You think that's why we're up 6% on the Dow, 10% on the S&P? We're having a wonderful year so far.
Yeah, we certainly are. Well, welcome to the show. And if you're listening, thanks for joining us tonight on Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. And,
Linda, we have some new news.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about how to find our website trying to remember the complicated initials anymore. All you have to do is just type in DougAndLinda.com.
All right.
DougAndLinda.com. You can go to our website. You can watch a video of us. You can listen to old radio programs in WPTF. You can you can catch a lot. Just give it a try, DougAndLinda.com. And
exactly.
From there, you can call the office if you like and schedule an appointment for financial planning.
And if you happen to be anywhere else in the United States, you can just get on your computer and or on your iPhone or your iPad and just you can live stream. Visit News Radio 680 WPTF and you can join us on the show as, you know, live stream. And Doug, did you happen to see that interesting article about he wants to retire, but she doesn't?
You want the article that talked about husbands and wives arguing?
Yes, indeed.
Well, if I say no, I didn't see it, then we've got an argument started, Linda.
Well, you did see the article.
I did see the article.
But I thought it was interesting.
It was a great article.
It's what's happening in the world, and as people are planning to retire, sometimes when to retire can be the dilemma.
When or if? Let's say you've been managed to keep your marriage intact by the time you hit your middle age. Maybe it's your second marriage, but somehow you've been able to hold it together. Odds are, so said the article, your spouse won't feel the same way you do when you want to retire. Over 62% of the people disagree. The ones that were interviewed disagreed about the timing of retirement. And they talked about this one lady named Deborah, who was 55 years old, an attorney. She practiced law, family law. Her husband was 62, a programmer, and he was doing a two-hour commute to work, to get to work every day. He was burned out.
A long commute.
He was tired. He said when he was asked, when would you like to retire? He didn't say yesterday, but he said as soon as possible.
And what did his wife say? Well, she said, no go. I've told him he has to stay working until the last of our children is out of college in 4 years. So for the wife, it would be annoying not to have someone pulling their weight. And she realizes that even though he's older, on a personal level, she doesn't see it as a positive if he stops working, because her perspective is he'd just putter around the house.
I've heard that a lot, and I don't know where it comes from. Some people remember their own father, maybe, who retired, and so they get this idea that it's healthier to keep working, and when you slow down, you become less productive, less interesting, less healthy, less financially robust. And so a lot of the females that were interviewed for this article said they want to work as long as they can. And a lot of the men, interestingly enough, thought that the wife's views were sort of warped. They wanted to they wanted to quit. They wanted to just...
it was interesting. He said, she sees me riding in the saddle until the very last day when I drop from the saddle. And my body feels the way it feels. So she can't really know how I feel and how I function.
It's something to joke about when you talk about it like this, Linda. But in real life, I have seen over 20 years of people coming into my office, as you know, and having this same disagreement about what to do if we retire. He's been offered a package. He's been offered, you know, a lot of Progress Energy people right now are facing that very question. A lot of IBMers are facing that question. If I take the, quote, the package, if I take the offer to take early retirement, what am I going to do all day? How am I going to make it?
Some folks decide on a second career, maybe a part-time job. Others are content to just hang out with the grandkids. Well, are there some statistics, some interesting statistics, Doug, regarding how couples negotiate when to start planning for retirement?
Almost all of the research that's coming back now says it is a big, big disagreement. 62% of the couples don't agree on when is the right time to retire. 73% disagreed on whether they've got a regular retirement income plan worked out. 47% disagree on whether they're going to continue working while they retire. I mean, and then 33% don't even know what kind of lifestyle they're going to have after retirement. And I would say that's probably the one that I like to hone in on the most, because when clients come into our office, I like to interview them right off the bat and have, you know, I like to get it all out on the table. You know, what are you going to do all day long? I like to ask each one of them. And where do you want to go? Do you want to stay in North Carolina? Or do you think maybe if you don't have to go to work all day, maybe you could enjoy 6 months in the Caribbean or in the Mediterranean? Some would love it. Some say, well, I think I would like to try maybe living in another. Matter of fact, didn't you tell me, Linda, that you recently met some folks that were doing
that? I met some, yep. They were spending 3 months visiting family and having a family reunion. And then
where was that?
It was in the Middle East.
Three months over in Israel,
and
back where?
Back in Belgium.
Back in Belgium. I know a lot of ones they call snowbirds will do 3 and 3, 6 and 6, and so forth. But the real question that I think a lot of folks come to grips with eventually is, what am I going to do all day? What type of lifestyle do I expect to occupy myself with? I have some clients, they love going to museums, and they love exploring new museums, and every trip there's another one.
Art and history and science. And it's nice to travel, and some like to go biking and hiking. And so there's so many wonderful things that you can do to explore and to enjoy that part of your life. But
you come down to the question of, suppose you can't come to any agreement about when it's going to happen. Then you go ahead.
You know, the debate for some couples, like as was quoted in the article, is at a standstill for now. And so, you know, in some cases, the wife is worried that the husband will just quit too soon and then start having fun and they won't have sufficient funds. And that's where the dilemma really needs to be addressed, doesn't it, Doug?
Yeah, I like to get the money issue off the table. That's a pretty easy one to solve. Can we or can't we become financially independent? Once we have that one answered with a yes, we can, now do we want to do it? And in
or
many,
let's take baby steps towards.
That's exactly right.
Let's
sometimes
take a 2-week trip or a month.
That's right.
Trip,
and sometimes
right?
And sometimes it's a well. How about just cutting back a little bit on the work?
Mm-hmm.
If she feels that he's just going to be a disaster by quitting totally, how about cutting back? How about cutting back to working maybe just 2 or 3 days a week or a few hours a day? Quitting on one end, but coming back as a consultant. I've seen many, many of these through the years where there's just some sort of negotiation. Once you know you don't have to work for financial need, then you negotiate with your employer what you are willing to give back to them to keep peace in the family, but to take baby steps, like you say.
You know, Doug, the days when a husband automatically retires at 65 with a corporate pension and his wife dutifully follows him to a golf course in Florida, they're officially over.
Those days are gone. We don't see that anymore, mainly because of the shift in the pension market or in the retirement market. Those defined benefit plans, they're few and far between. And those wives that had no income and didn't have a profession of their own, they're gone.
And part of it is that women are having children later in life and maybe working, you know, starting a career later in life. And, you know, educating their kids later in life. But if you're out there listening tonight and you're joining us on Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis, we'd love to hear your questions. What's your dilemma? What's your situation? Are you planning on retiring? And what are some of the questions that are on your minds? Call us now. You can join us on the show. Our numbers to call are 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-9783. WPTF. And if you'd like to call us in the office, if you have something in your situation you'd like to discuss with us and possibly schedule an appointment, you can call us at 919-872-7000. That's USA 7000.
And you can also do DougAndLinda.com.
Visit our website.
Well, there is some very positive news in the investment world, Linda. In a very unusual, unexpected area. It's the world of alternative investments, I like to call it. The Wall Street Journal has been reporting, along with other periodicals, a lot of very interesting success stories. The one that caught my eye, first of all, was on the storage REITs. The article headline said, Storage REITs Enjoy a Boom.
Well, Doug, can you explain for our listeners what a REIT is?
Oh, okay.
And that's not a REET. It's a REIT, right?
Yeah. REITs are not the opposite of wrongs. You know, REITs and wrongs. No, no. REITs are real estate investment trusts, REIT. And REITs come in all different categories. They are they're a stock of a company, but the company owns real estate. And they have a special tax law that governs them, which is very attractive. They are required to pay out all of their income to the shareholders of the stocks, the shareholders of the REITs. So we have mini warehouse storage REITs. We have hotel REITs. We have extended stay REITs. We have nursing home REITs. We have shopping center REITs. We have office building REITs. We have longer
retirement communities,
all kinds of REITs out there. And the article was really good. It pointed out that storage REITs enjoyed a boom. The whole industry of REITs last year did over 8%, but storage REITs did over 35%.
That is incredible.
It was the strongest sector of all the REITs. And so the question that the article was asking, why did these particular REITs do so much better than, I mean, all the REITs did well. But why did they do much better? Very interesting.
It is interesting, Doug, and it's no wonder that, you know, with people downsizing or maybe doing renovations, and of course the large numbers of people that have foreclosed on homes, if they've had to move to a smaller dwelling, either an apartment or a townhouse, then where does all the stuff go if you don't give it away or sell it? You store it.
Right.
And there's even, I think the article was quoted as saying that there's even a TV show.
It's a reality TV show called Storage Wars, which allows investors, as they bid on repossessed storage lockers that are opened up, searching for hidden treasures where all kinds of things are discovered in them. But lo and behold, the storage REITs did tremendous. The foreclosure crisis has been boosting the demand for storage space. Everything was working well, and I thought that was very interesting because really investors are looking for income.
Income, yes, indeed.
And as you look for income, you find all kinds of attempts to get more income.
You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. If you'd like to join us, call us on the open lines. Call us with your questions at 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-WPTF. And call us, join us, and call us with your questions. Well, you're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. And if you've got a question, we'd love to hear from you. Call us on the open lines at 860-9783. That's 860-WPTF. And if you're out of town, call us toll-free at 1-800-662-7979. And for cellular callers, it is star 680. Well, Doug, let's take a caller now.
Okay, let's take Chris's call. Chris, this is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner. How can I help you?
Well, I have a question about college funding.
Okay.
And my question has to do with about how much should you be putting in a year? I've got an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I've got $25,000. Put away so far for the 8-year-old and 15 for the 4-year-old. So basically I've been doing about 5 a year trying to.
All right. Well,
and
I'm just
wondering if, you know, if I'm putting in too much or should I cut, can I cut back that or should I actually increase it?
All right. Let me ask you a few questions first of all. How old are you, Chris?
43.
You're 43. Is it one in are you working and your wife or just yourself?
Just myself.
All right. And what's your income level?
It's over 250.
You're making $250,000 a year. Okay, so you have no problem in setting aside income.
No.
All right, now, the question is, where are you setting aside next? 8-year-old's got $25,000. Where is it going into?
It's going into uniform gift, and some of that is going into municipal bonds, things of that sort.
Yeah, okay, now that's the mistake you're making. Okay. You're making two mistakes there. The first thing is I'm now recommending to all of my clients that we do not do Uniform Gift to Minors Act accounts any longer.
Okay.
And the reason being the cost of college education. Your 8-year-old will probably have to spend close to $500,000, or certainly your 4-year-old will probably have to spend close to $500,000 to get that kid through school if he goes to a private school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Chris?
Well, it looks like we lost Chris, but
Chris, give us a call back, and we'll pick up the call. In the meantime, let's take John's call, and we'll take Chris when Chris calls back. Hey, John, this is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner. How can we help you this evening?
Hi, John. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a 53-year-old, married. Wife is 48. I was able to accumulate, hopefully, a good enough 401k plan to the extent I'm thinking, can we retire at 55? So
give us some of the facts, and let me see if I can help you out. John, you said you're 53, your wife is 48.
That's right.
All right, and let me ask you a couple questions to get some quick facts.
All right.
Okay, number one, what is in non-retirement investments at the present time?
Non-retirement will be cash, a trading account. And
how much is in cash accounts?
Yeah, about $200,000.
$200,000 in cash accounts. You haven't invested, or it's in CDs? It's not more money markets?
Yeah, various. I have some technology stocks.
No. That's not a cash account. That's a stock. I'm talking about When I said cash accounts, I meant money markets and CDs and savings accounts.
All right. That'll be somewhere around $50,000 instead of $200,000.
Okay. $50,000 in cash accounts. Now, in stocks and bonds and mutual funds that are not retirement, what's over there?
Somewhere around $200,000.
Okay. All right, so we have $200,000 in non-qualified investments and $50,000 in cash. So we've got about $250,000 non-qualified. Now let's go to the what we call the qualified side. What is in your? You say it's a 401k. Is that what you said?
That's right.
All right, how much is in your 401k?
About $1.5 million right now.
That's very good. $1.5 million and in a 401k. And your wife, what does she have accumulated in her retirement?
It's just about $100,000 in a 401k because she quit her job a long time ago.
All right.
So whatever she's had now is what she has.
All right. Now, do you have any idea, you have any children at home or are they finished?
Yes, I do. Two young ones, 13 and 10.
13 and 10. Do you have any idea what your present living expenses are, including the two kids?
Somewhere around $80,000 a month. Year.
All right, so we need $80,000 a year for the family income. All right, so the first thing is, I'm sure you're wondering, because you're under 59 and a half, what happens if you actually attempt to do it, right?
Right.
Well, here's the good news. The good news is, if you retire, you can do a rollover tax-free from your 401k to an IRA. Your IRA then will have $1.5 million within it. Your wife can do the same thing, and hers will have $100,000 in it. You've now removed them from any control by any employer. They're totally under your control.
All right.
All right. Then you can go ahead and invest that $1.5 million in an investment portfolio. We do this all the time with our clients. Invest it in an investment portfolio that's conservative, balanced, and designed for income. So let's say that we want to go ahead and have it structured in such a way that it could give maybe, let's say, 4% income. Let me use that number for a second, and I'll show you what you could do. All right, that could go ahead and give you $60,000 a year, if somehow you could deal with another problem.
Mm-hmm.
Then, on your non-retirement monies, you've got $250,000 there.
Right.
The $250,000, that could be designed to give you about a 5% return. So, on the $250,000, a 5% yield, income side. 5%, that could go ahead and give you another $15,000. Knowing that you could get about $75,000, and on your wife's side, you could get a little bit out also, but let's leave her part alone for the moment. So you could probably get this thing to where it would give you maybe $75,000 to $85,000, depending on how you designed it. But then right away, your question is, well, what do I do, because I'm under 59 and a half years old, what do I do about drawing money from my IRA?
Right.
There is a section in the Internal Revenue Code which we use for people like you, and it's called Section 72T, which allows us to draw money from your IRA without paying any 10% penalty tax at all.
That's nice.
It is nice, because when we use this, we then go ahead. Now, you have to do this with the help of a certified financial planner who knows what he's doing and how to do it, and I'll be happy to go ahead and arrange a meeting with you and walk you through all the mechanics of it. But for the radio show, let me say this. 72T says that if we set a fixed monthly payment that comes out for 5 years and is never changed, then you avoid that penalty completely.
Mm-hmm.
If you happen to need more than 5 years to hit 59 and a half, which you do, you need 6.5 years,
right,
then it's the same law. We just cannot change it for 6.5 years. So what we have to do is we design this thing in such a way that it will go ahead and give you that income need and still meet the tables. There's certain actuarial tables we have to use to work it out. But then you design. The nice thing is it's IRA. You are totally controlling everything. No one is controlling or looking at this other than you. And so you're doing the whole thing. Or I say you with your financial planner. This is what we do in our office with clients. We design the investment portfolio. Altogether, I would start with $1.5 million plus 250. It's $1.750 million, another 100, $1.850 million. And I could see very easily the whole $1.850 million. That would not have a difficulty giving you $92,000 a year altogether.
Mm-hmm.
We then have to go ahead and recategorize your expenses according to your recurring monthly expenses and your non-monthlies. For example, when you talk about what your expenses are being 80-some thousand, actually there are some expenses like clothing and gifts and vacation, travel. Those things are not regular monthlies, right?
Right.
On the other hand, there are regular monthlies like your food, your groceries, how many times you and your wife go out for dinner, your gas for your car, your regular monthly expenses. Do you have a mortgage on your home?
Yeah, still.
Okay, so that's a regular monthly. So we want to recategorize your expenses into your monthlies and your non-monthlies, and we work around the 72T on that basis. But it would be very easy to do. Be happy to go ahead. If you go to our website, type in DougAndLinda.com. You can have a chance to go ahead and see us as we perform in our office. There's a lot more information there. And from there, you can call the office, schedule an appointment if you like, and we'd be happy to go ahead and walk you all the way through the whole thing and help you achieve financial independence. You're welcome.
That's very nice. I'm just wondering, I'm not trying to brag about it, but I hope I'm doing the right thing, and hopefully I am a little bit better than what I'm hearing about.
Well,
no, you're able to do it. We've had many people just like you who have done the same thing. Some
and
have
commend you.
Yes, some have accumulated dollars very similar to yours, and they run into the issue of what about? As a matter of fact, we have more clients that achieve it under 59.5 than afterwards. And so the question is, what do we do if we make it before our retirement age? And that's where the fun part is. You can do it. You can achieve your lifetime goals without having to wait until retirement age.
What do they say? Mazel tov.
Well, thank you.
Just keep accumulating and call us at the office, and we'll be happy to send you some information and possibly set up a time where we can look at this in more detail to help you realize your financial planning goals.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, John. Have a great week.
You bet.
Thank you. You're listening to Money Matters on News Radio 680 WPTF. And if you'd like to join us on the show, you can call us on the open lines. Maybe you've been thinking about retiring or working with a financial planner that can assist you in addressing the questions that you have in your situation. Sometimes it has to do with cash flow planning. And on the other hand, it could be, what about college funding? And like John and his wife, who have two young children, you want to make sure that you've accumulated enough to finance their education, or else use
Well, there's so many
loans.
Ways
there's
to achieve
ways.
The goals that people don't know about. Section 72T is a tax I mean, it's like having a quiver with a lot of arrows, but many people don't know the arrows that are in the quiver.
You're
there
right.
are ways to take care of college education. There are ways to avoid the income tax problem. There are ways to avoid selling real estate and paying capital gains. There's all these strategies that are out there that people don't know because they're so used to dealing with stockbrokers that are trying to sell them some sort of an investment instead of how to do planning.
You know, Doug, it was interesting that our last caller, John, just said that I believe when his wife left her job, that she left the money in her 401k. But, when you separate from your employer, it's important to remember that, while you're working, the plan administrator has a plan and a certain number of investment choices that they can make within the particular plan that the employer has for their employees. But once you separate from your company, you then have access to having control over your money, and
you should
can
never
roll it over.
You should never leave it. We're seeing more and more articles on what's wrong with the 401k market. How about employers that are actually raiding the 401ks? What about the fees that are inside the 401ks? So many articles are hitting the press now about the 401k arena. So when you have the legal right to do a rollover away from your 401k and not pay taxes, absolutely, Linda. Anybody who doesn't do it is making a serious mistake.
And that's part of the whole process of financial planning, isn't it, Doug? To look at all the issues that may be, on the checklist or something that you procrastinated, and finally get answers to those questions that you have. And it may be drawing up a will, especially when you have young children, making sure that your estate planning issues are addressed as well, whether or not you have adequate insurance coverage. Your employer may give you a certain benefit, but is that enough if you should predecease your spouse, right, Doug?
Yeah. Have you noticed, Linda, recently the different age groups of clients that have been coming to see us? We've seen some clients recently as old as their mid-80s, right?
Yes, we
And some
have.
As young as their late 30s. It's like all of a sudden the wake-up call is reaching a lot of people that it's never too early to start planning. It's never too late to start planning. Just do it.
And it's everybody, it's the young couples, the two income earners. Sometimes it's the widows, and it's the people in pre-retirement planning mode, but also the retirees who really are interested in looking at their situation to make sure that everything's in order so that they can continue to enjoy whatever stage it is that they are in. Well, Doug,
we were talking about articles that were really hitting the press recently, Linda, about the different aspects of the investment world, especially the alternative investments. What we've been noticing, Linda, is that there is a hunger for income. There's a hunger for income. And so there was another article that said, in the world of REITs, small REITs put up the biggest first quarter of 2012 of any of the other REITs, including nursing home REITs, hotel REITs, shopping center REITs. All of the REITs did well, but small REITs had the biggest first quarter this year. And then there were articles on what about single-family homes.
That was a very interesting article, wasn't it, Doug? It had to do with single-family rentals, that there are companies that are buying up these foreclosed properties. And what are they doing?
Well, again, they were turning lemon into lemonade. They were putting together funds that bought up foreclosed homes and then rent them out. And obviously, as soon as you rent them out, you've got an income generator, and this meets the need of the investing public that's hungry for income. And income is just, it's dried up in the traditional areas. I saw last week a big ad in the, I think it was the News and Observer, it might have been the Wall Street Journal. It was bold. It was Duke is offering 1.6% on Duke CDs. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was so big, they were so much advertising space to pay for an ad that size to announce 1.6%. The next day, I saw an ad from someone else that said, only get 2%? That's not a return, that's a retreat.
Well, that's cute.
But the story is the same. People are hungry for yield, for income. What are you going to do when you had $1 million portfolio and you got it in the high points of the CDs that were paying 12%, so your $1 million was giving you $120,000 a year income, and now they're maturing and you're down to almost zero income. So people are hungry for income, and so lo and behold, the REIT market is coming out. The foreclosed rental, homes for rent is
storage.
Coming out. All areas,
all kinds of all areas. Interesting investments. You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. Call us if you'd like to join us and you have a question about your financial planning situation. And aren't you glad that you got your taxes paid and we got a plan for next year, right? So if you've got a question, call us on the open lines. That number to call is 919-860-WPTF. That's 919-860-9783. Well, Doug, what about that article about don't rock the boat?
Well, that also was an interesting article because this was some financial writer's attempt to reduce the risks of income during retirement. And it approached the problem, but the solutions were all wrong so often. One of the solutions was, well, with income down so bad, you need to find a way to get a fixed income during your retirement years, so go for annuities. Bad decision. Bad decision. I could not agree with that when I read the article. That is not what you want to be doing, paying an insurance company high fees to turn around and give you back an income stream. And then another way was to find diversification, they said, by putting in ETFs in your portfolio. Again, bad decision. The ETFs are a very high-risk, expensive way to deceive yourselves, in my opinion. That was not it. And then there was one interesting thing that they pointed out in the article. It was beware against being too conservative. And that was good. Because the too conservative was if you put everything in CDs, you're going to have no income. And if you thought you were being real conservative in the past, suddenly your income is dried up as the CDs are maturing. So the attempt to find the solution was there, but I don't think they have the right answers. There was another article that did approach it right by categorizing the expenses. I like that article. I don't remember which one it was, Linda, but it was very good. It was an article we found that said this growing urgency of people looking for income investments is making them take crazy risks. And that's true. And the answer in
being reckless, right?
It was being reckless. But the answer that I did like was categorize your expenses. I liked that because once you know what your expenses are according to certain categories, then you can approach solving the certain type of expense. Now, in our office, do you remember the three categories we use, Linda, in terms of expense categorizations?
Well, it's the recurring monthly expenses.
Right.
That's your RMEs. And then the non-monthly fixed expenses,
right?
Like if you're paying your property taxes or your auto insurance, et cetera.
Semi-annual or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And then we have the discretionary.
Examples of discretionaries would be?
Well, entertainment, gifts.
Gifts.
Vacations.
Vacations.
Et cetera.
Yeah, and usually entertainment, I include that as an RME in most people because, you know, how many times you and your wife go out to the museum or you go to the concerts or what your entertainment is, that's usually for most folks, that's under RMEs. But the reason I like to recategorize is the big expense category is very often the non-monthly stuff that hits. We call them discretionaries, but as you said, vacations, gifts, clothing, things like that. The way to solve this income problem in the present investment world is to try and match the RMEs, the recurring monthly income, with part of the portfolio that produces a predictable income.
Recurring monthly expenses, you mean?
Did I say it wrong?
Yeah, you said recurring monthly income.
Thank you. To match the recurring monthly expenses with a recurring monthly income from investments. And as we build this investment portfolio for the clients, we need to go ahead and look at that aspect. We're doing one right now. As a matter of fact, the reason Deborah's not on the air with us this evening is she's back at the office working on a financial plan where we're trying to do just that, match the recurring monthly expenses with the income component coming off of the investment portfolio. And then for the non-monthly expenses, the discretionaries, do you know how we solve that issue?
How do we solve that issue, Doug?
We dip into the portfolios on an as-needed basis, usually into the mutual funds. So I liked the approach of let's categorize expenses and then go for income. And then we can see, well, what about REITs? What do they give in the way of income? What about the high-yield bond funds? They're giving a nice income stream, a nice high monthly income stream and so forth. And now there were some articles about income where I was sort of weirded out when I heard some of the things that people are doing trying to get income.
Yeah, I guess that was in the Weekend Investor. Would you lend money to these people? So what's happening again, as you said, people are looking for ways to get income. And so sometimes they're falling into the peer-to-peer lending market, and that can be dangerous.
Yeah, that's attracting more and more attention for people, again, because there's no way to get income. So they're saying, well, how about making personal loans? And there is this new market approaching. They call it the peer-to-peer lending market. And they had examples of a person who was willing to pay 12% interest for a $4,000 loan. Their credit score was 780. And bad credit history. Another one, a guy had gone through bankruptcy. He's willing to pay 31% to borrow $5,000. His credit score was 600 and something. Different ones. But that peer-to-peer lending market, that I had a big no. Beware. This is unregulated areas, and we don't need to do that. There are a lot of areas in the investment world where income is still quite nice, quite high, without taking the risks that people think.
Thank you for joining us on Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. And if you've got a question, call us on the open lines. Join us. The number to call is 919-860-WPTF. That's 919-860-9783. Doug? You know, there are a lot of people that procrastinate doing estate planning, getting their affairs in order. Wouldn't you agree?
In the realm, Lynn, of estate planning, there's a checklist that I like to apply. First of all, do you need a revocable living trust or do you need a will? In my opinion, most clients after a certain age definitely should consider a living trust, revocable living trust. Then after the issue of revocable living trust or will, we then need to come to, what about a durable power of attorney? And then after the question of durable power of attorney, we need, what about the health care powers of attorney? Who is going to have the right to tell the doctor, don't operate or do operate more medicine or less medicine, more morphine or less? That is the healthcare power of attorney, which is crucial. Then, of course, there's the living will. The living will is what they call the provision to pull the plug when you are technically vegetative. And then, of course, there are the HIPAA authorizations. So in each of these areas, if you haven't covered and got an estate plan, then again, we want to make sure, and
put
we do
that on your checklist.
And we do it in our office. We make sure that once we get the investment portfolio created, then we also want to go into the tax area and we want to go into the estate area. Those are the things that we do in our office for our clients.
And if your assets, like one of our callers tonight, John and his family, as your assets grow, it's important to look at the possibility of a revocable living trust. So call us in Raleigh at 919-872-7000, and we'll be happy to assist you with your estate planning and your financial planning.
Okay, let's take a caller.
Carol, I'll take your call now. How can I help you?
I appreciate you taking the call, sir.
All right.
Got a question about living trust.
Yes, ma'am.
I just recently closed an estate of an uncle who died, and I was an out-of-state resident from where he lived.
Mm-hmm.
And the fees I paid for probate, to sell the house, to bonding, and everything else just horrified me because everything was set. He had a neat will. There was no question among the inheritors or anything like this. But the fees we had to pay made me look into living trust.
How much was the estate, Carol?
About $600,000.
What were the fees?
I think I paid up to about $24,000.
That sounds about right. Okay.
So I thought about the living trust, and I've been inquiring locally about this kind of thing. I've read the books on it, and it sounds good.
Uh-huh.
But then I found out the bank says, well, we charge 2 to 3% of the value annually. Ouch. If I had $500,000 in an estate, that's not out of sight because of houses today. I'm going to be paying $5,000 a year, 2 to 3%.
You're only getting half the picture, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how much is the size of your estate?
Probably about $700,000.
What you want to do, number one, don't deal with the bank.
Oh? Huh.
A revocable living trust does not replace a will.
No, this.
So, number two, you want to establish a revocable living trust today.
Mm-hmm.
How's your health?
Excellent.
All right. You want to go ahead and identify yourself as the trustee of this trust.
Mm-hmm.
And as the trustee, you will control everything.
Mm-hmm. That I understand from what I've researched.
What do you own besides real estate?
Oh, $250,000 in stock, $250,000 T-bills, odds and ends and unit trusts, something
all right.
like that.
If you want to go ahead, you can have the ownership of your stocks and your T-bills. You can have them transferred into the name of you as trustee
mm-hmm.
for that trust.
Yeah, this I understand.
Well, so far we haven't got a bank in any picture, do we? If you will call my office, I'll be happy to go ahead and help you set one of these up. We do these all the time for clients. We have an attorney that either your attorney or we select an attorney who drafts the document. We then transfer the ownership of your assets into the ownership of your trust with you as trustee. Any of your stocks, if they're held at a brokerage account or if they're mutual funds, we simply have the ownership changed from your name individual to trustee. But as far as the establishment of the revocable living trust,
mm-hmm.
you do not have to have a bank involved at all.
I'll be darned.
And in your revocable living trust, you should have it designated that you have the North Carolina healthcare powers of attorney provisions written in there. You should have living will provisions put in there.
I have those already.
You should also have credit shelter trust provisions built into your revocable living trust document
right.
because, as you know, a revocable living trust does not save estate taxes.
Carol, we did have one client who within the last month, and she's I think about 69, and she had one of these revocable living trusts set up for her estate,
mm-hmm.
and she does not have any children,
mm-hmm.
but she did incorporate the setting up of, you know, the trust and her estate planning in with her financial planning as well. Because what we find is that individuals that have accumulated a certain amount of assets want to protect it. And
well, yeah, I'm a little amazed when I retired and find out what I had.
Yeah. Do you have children, Carol?
No.
Okay.
Well, there are things that you might want to also incorporate into total financial planning, such as long-term nursing care insurance protection. You want to cover asset allocation of your investments. I don't have time on the air, but I would question right away why a lady like yourself has $250,000 in the stock market. That sounds a little risky to me.
No, that's about one-third of my estate.
Mm-hmm. But in any case,
it's grown through the years. I've been planning.
Mm-hmm.
And started out 20 years ago with my husband's life insurance.
Yeah.
And boy, I'm amazed at what it is now. I can't sell anything. It's all capital gains.
I can show you a way to sell it and pay no capital gains also.
Now, what's that number I should call?
Okay, that number, Carol, here in Raleigh is 919-872-7000.
872-7000.
That's USA 7000.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Thanks
for calling.
Time.
Thank you, Carol.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's all the Money Matters we have time for today. So we want to thank all our listeners for joining us. And for any other questions you may have, call my office during the week, and we'll set up an appointment to meet with you personally. That number is 919-872-7000. That's 919-USA-7000. And we'll be back next week on this same station at the same time. In the meantime, have a great week. And remember, your money matters because your financial future is at stake.
You've been listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters provides you with a personal financial hotline on any subject where money really matters. For more information, you can call Doug and Linda in Raleigh at 872-7000. That's USA 7000. Listen again next Sunday at 6:05 for Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on 680 WPTF.